The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
This series that we've been in about the glory and the majesty of God. You know, what is that glory? What is that majesty of the Lord? I've told Pat and several others, I've just enjoyed doing this. I've learned so much. It's given me a completely different perspective. I'll never say the word glory again without having a different thought about it, having spent time with you going through it. So as a text for our series, we've used out of the book of Exodus, chapter 33, beginning in verse 18. And now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And then down in verse 22, when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. So as I've been telling you each week, that the glory of God is his splendor. It's another way you could have actually translated the word, the original word, into the word splendor, which speaks of light. And God is light. He illuminates everything that you see. If you're able to see, it's because of the glory of God that allows you to see. And his majesty, his authority, his ability to not only be the great I am, but also the great I can. So he is all that we need, and he can do all that we need. So in the first week, we talked about how we can experience the glory and majesty of God and the Father. Last week, we spoke about the glory and the majesty of God found in Christ. And we're going to continue that today and speak about the glory and majesty as found in mankind. And the title of today's message is, What Became of God's Glory and Majesty for Man? So what became of God's glory and majesty for man? Okay, so what became of the glory and majesty of God for man? And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Hallelujah. Come on, don't start shouting until I start preaching. The past several weeks we've been going through the scriptures and looking through the prism of the Word of God to see in some measure the glory and the majesty of God seen in the Father and in His Son. But there's more to be seen. There's more to know. After last week, I just preached myself happy. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, you ought to pay to hear it. I'm telling you, that is good preaching. But the splendor and majesty of God is the center of all reality. I want to say that again for you. The splendor and majesty of God is the center of all reality. What is reality? That's the truth. That's what you can grab onto. That's something you can hold on to. That's something that won't fade and won't change. And it's God's glory and majesty that is absolutely unchanging. He is the unchanging and the unfailing reality to which we cling. Others are myths and stories and of things made up by men. But this is the reality. As a matter of fact, you're not real. I mean, what I'm looking at is energy. You know, if you had a super microscope and you could, you know, remember that sermon I did about DNA of God and man? And if we could see you, you know, you're just a bunch of little electrons being connected together some kind of way. And those electrons have got a limited life. They will one day just go, and when they do, we'll put you in a box and bury you. But the reality is, the glory and majesty of God that dwells within you, that will never fail. It will never fade. It will never dim. It'll never lose its power. That glory and majesty of God points to you. I brought a little living illustration for you. Anybody know what this is? It's like a pen. It's more than a pen. It's a laser beam. You know, and I can move it around and I can just put it right there on Tommy. Huh? I can reach back there and I can get on George. That thing is straight. One of the things about laser, it just does such a good job. There we go. I got Sharon back here. Let me get a little bit on Liz, you know. Let's see who else I can get. Oh, there's Jim. I got him. Dead center. If this thing was attached to a pistol, I was over at Chuck's house, and he had a pistol with a laser beam on it, and he was showing me how that thing works. Man, but the beam gets on you, you know you're toast. You just surrender. Well, that's the way God's glory is. Radiating from the reality of Him and pointed directly at you. You're in God's light. You're in God's sight. God's got you in His being of majesty and glory. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." You know, and every time I've looked at that, I thought, man, we look like God. If we look like God, He's in trouble. I mean, we're wrinkly and, you know, messed up. Some of us are missing parts, you know. I don't want to mention any names. You know? Some of us wish we had some new parts. Yeah, we're if we're God's image, He's not doing real good. But you know, as I looked at this in the light of our text of our what we're studying, God's life. Remember I told you that God's glory is the essence of who He is? That radiated light, that splendor of God. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Then He did something very unusual. He reached down and He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. He had life. And the only place to get life is God. And God is the source of all life and light and glory. Adam received glory from God to come alive. And then God gave him majesty when He said, "Let him rule." He put him in charge. In the garden, Adam and Eve had the glory and the majesty of God. It was upon them. Now, one of the reasons I know that is because when the glory and majesty departed after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is the first thing they said? "We are naked." And God said, "How did you know?" Well, before they couldn't see that flesh and blood, they saw the glory of God and the majesty of God in each other. That's what they saw. They were, see, we don't know all that took place prior to the fall of man. We know a lot about after the fall, but we don't know a whole lot about prior to the fall. But we know this, that God visited with them. God spoke with them. They saw God. Well, when we see later on after the fall, God says to Moses, Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. And he said, man, I'm sorry, but if you see me, you die. You can't look at me and live. Something happened to Adam and Eve that you and I suffer the consequences of today. The glory and the majesty of God is no longer upon man. We were made in the image of God, and in the fact that we are Adam's children and that we are human beings of flesh and blood, and that breath of life is passed on from one person to another person in the form of a child and passed on and on and on. You know, one of the things that scientists can do, they can do a lot of wonderful things, but they cannot create life. You all remember that joke they had around going around some time back about the devil wanted to have a contest with Jesus, and he said he could make a man just as good as God did, and they decided to have this contest, and the devil reached down and got a handful of mud, and Jesus slapped his wrist. He says, you know, get your own mud. You know? God created the heavens and the earth. He created the dust of the earth. It is Him. It is out of Him that it exists. And you and I exist out of the creation that God gave us. We are men and women of the earth. But we have missed since the fall the glory and the majesty of God. And I'm going to tell you some more about that in just a little while. But man was in harmony with God. He was living and sharing in God's glory and majesty. And then they traded the glory and majesty of God for their own selfish means. It reminded me some of the story of Esau. You remember that Esau despised his birthright. And he traded his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew, something to eat. It's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They traded the glory and the majesty of God for something to eat, something that would give them wisdom, that they would know what God knows. And they were successful, by the way, because when a little later on God said, look at them, they've become like us. They now know what I didn't want them to know about sin and about death. So today we're going to look in some detail about God's glory and majesty in man, for man. And the first thing I want to talk about is his glory and majesty became fallen glory in Adam. It was a fallen glory in Adam. And I want to go back to Genesis for just a minute, chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. What a contrast we see between the Adam before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the Adam afterwards. Adam was clothed in splendor, and now he's clothed in things of the earth. And that's the way we are so often. We clothe ourselves in the things of the earth. You know, we try to make ourselves look better. And some of us need to work at that. And it's okay. I try to make myself look better. I mean, you should see me before I've worked this thing over in the morning to get here. I mean, I have to trim my mustache so it doesn't look, you know, raggedy, you know, and I trim my little sideburns and I shave, and now I even powder myself so I don't gleam on the cameras here and in the light. You know, I try to do my, don't shake your head, Leroy. I'm doing the best I can. He's back there going like this. No, I'm doing the best I can, you know. But this is the best. This is as good as it gets. I mean, it's just, this is it. I can't do any better. And I know I'm not going to pick on anybody in the congregation, but about doing about your best. You know, some of you need to work a little harder at it, but you're doing all right, you know. But if I could see your reality, whoo, glory. If I could see the glory and majesty of God that dwells in you, that was in Adam, visible for Adam and Eve and God to see, oh, what a difference it would make. Oh, you wouldn't have to worry about powder and makeup and shaving your head and, I was looking at George, and, you know, other things. I mean, you'd look awesome. You'd be a sight to behold. And the truth is, you are a sight to behold right now. Adam had authority over everything. He was in charge. And after the fall, everything ruled over him. We're subject to this earth. There's things we can't do. This earth is killing us. You know that beautiful thing out there called the sun, which we're hoping pops out today because we don't like it to be cloudy? That thing's killing you. All that radiation is beaming through space. They have a sunburst on the, you know, a big storm, and all that radiation plummets through Earth. Now the atmosphere around the Earth has been damaged through time, and it just comes right through. At one time, it couldn't get through. There was an ozone layer around the Earth. I'm not going to give you a science lesson here, but now it gets through, and it's making you old. That's one of the reasons that we're getting old, is that sun just beaming in on us. You know, this earth will kill you. You don't believe that. You go live in Alaska in the wintertime and without the right equipment, you're going to die. It'll kill you up there. We got storms just blew through our town yesterday, through Louisiana. People up in Baton Rouge, I understand 60 homes got destroyed in a storm. That's what the earth is like now. Everything is violent. It's moving. It's destroying itself and destroying us in the process. Before the fall, Adam had safety in the garden. And now he's banished to his hostile life. He's got to fend for himself. You got to be careful wherever you go. I mean, you look at Mike just was fooling around and got some poison oak on him. And they'll have to really put a bad thing on his arm they had to deal with until the Lord miraculously began to heal it for him. You know, this is not a safe place. You think it's safe? Just go walking down in some neighborhoods in our major cities today and see if you can walk out alive. You know, it's a dangerous place. Some of the food you're eating, some of that stuff that it's killing you, folks. Some of the food you're eating is killing you, so we can't stop eating it. We're eating stuff that's not good for us. That's why I put together that thing that, and we've been breaking the rules lately, but we're getting back on track of eating healthy food around here. I understand we got king cakes today. This is it, folks. No more after today. I don't want any of this fat food around here. It's killing me. I can't eat this stuff. Not good for you. I had open heart surgery. I don't want to be putting that stuff in me. And I'm weak. I see it. Say, yeah, give me another donut. You know, give me another one of those fat pills. And I like it. Not good for me. Adam had sweet fellowship with God, and now we can't find God anymore. You know, I didn't study it out, but the thought came to me, and if I'm wrong, I'll have some time to look it out for us a little later. But I don't see where God was talking to Adam anymore after he put him out of the garden. I don't know that he ever talked to him again. You know, God came back and talked to some other people, but I don't know that he talked to Adam and Eve after that. Some of you theologians, go dig that up for me. Adam was blessed of God, and now he's cursed. Wow, what a difference a day makes, huh? Adam was designed to live forever, and he died. And his bones went back to the earth, back to dust. That's what has happened to this falling majesty and glory of God. Just cast away. You know, I imagine if Adam would have known, he wouldn't have done it. You know, if a lot of people knew the damage he's doing to themselves, they wouldn't do it. Nobody tells a drug addict what you're going to look like. We're all shot up with drugs and your mind gone and your health shot from doing drugs. People who are alcoholics, their bodies suffer such great trauma from it. Those involved in homosexuality, those involved in promiscuity, those involved in pornography, those involved in all the things of this earth, you know, that does such damage to us. And it's real easy sometimes to sit back here and say, Adam, you idiot. You know, remember that story about the guy had a man work for him and took care of his property, and he was always walking around complaining about Adam. That Adam, wouldn't have been for him, I'd be in a garden, I'd be, you know, life would be good, and here I am working and getting, nothing goes right, and it's hot. And, well, the guy he was working for had to go on a trip, and he told his guy, he said, I'm going to be out of town. You can go in the house, sit in the air conditioning, make yourself at home, get something cool to drink out of the refrigerator, help yourself to the food. Well, let me show you something. He took him in the living room right in front of his 65-inch LED thin 3D TV. He said, see that box? Don't touch that box. I said, no problem, man. Master of the house left. Guy was sitting there and eating food, chips, all the good stuff, and enjoying himself, and went and sat down, turned on the TV, looking at a good ball game. I'm looking at that box. I wonder what's in that box. I wonder why he doesn't want me to touch that box. What could possibly be in that box? Finally, curiosity got the best of him, and he reached down and he opened that box. And when he did, the boss man came home, said, you're no better than Adam. Get yourself back out in that yard and go to work where you had your working. You know, we do the same thing. We let the curiosity of life trap us, and that's many of you have been caught in bondages, some things you can't get out of. I know many of you have problems with habits you can't break. It's food, whether it's things like cigarettes. You know, Bob Harrington, the guy who was a chaplain of Bourbon Street, I used to like what he said, you know, smoking won't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. You know, I think that's kind of funny. But, you know, I don't know of anybody who smokes who wish they couldn't quit, or would like to quit. I don't know people who overeat who wish they could stop overeating. I know people hooked on pornography wish they didn't have to do that anymore. You get trapped in it, you can't get out of it. That's what happens living without the glory and majesty of God to help you along. Okay, second thing I want to talk to you about is what happened, what became of God's glory and majesty for man. Is God's glory and majesty was a fading glory in the law. It was a fading glory in the law. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? There was a glory in the law, okay? Verse 10, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the unsurpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? The law had a glory, but that glory was never intended to last. It was a fading glory. Y'all remember the story. Moses came down from the mountain. He put a veil over his face so people couldn't see his glory or what had happened to him. He was in the presence of God. God had passed by him. He had saw God's backside. He had received those stones, the law, engraved and etched with the finger of God. He had something that God had touched, and it had made a difference in him. But that glory began to fade immediately. There was a time when Moses didn't have to wear that veil any longer because the glory of being in the presence of God had faded. And the law that he had been given, although it had a glory, was a fading glory. That's what the scripture says. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, "It, the law, was added until the seed," capital S, seed, Christ, "had come." It was only supposed to last for a period of time. That's the message we're getting from Moses. It was fading. It was growing dimmer and dimmer. Romans 10:8 says, 10:4 says, "Christ is the end of the law." When Christ came, when Christ comes into your life, the law is no longer any effect on you. Paul writes, he said, "We are not under the law. If there was a righteousness that could come from that fading glory of the law, then Christ would have not had to come." So that's a fade. And when we try our best to keep all the rules and regulations, we're dealing with a fading glory. You can do it for a while, but it fades. Everyone fails. All who try fail. Remember the story of Jesus and the woman who was caught in adultery? And he said, "Let the one of the person here who has not had a faded glory, if you will, who has not sinned, let that person cast the first stone." And everybody knew they had failed. You know you've failed. You've failed God and you failed yourself. When you tried to be good, it just didn't work out for you. It faded away. Some of you saw that in your own children. Remember those beautiful little children who couldn't do any wrong when they were one day old? And then you begin to find out they had problems. What's the matter with you? They're still whining. Some of them are 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, and they're still going. You can't figure what's wrong with them. Fading. Fading. It's impossible, my dear friends, for us to keep the law. That's why the law was given, to show you that you couldn't keep it. And it leads you to the place where you need to be bathed in the majesty and the glory of God. We must go to Calvary's tree in order to receive what we could not do for ourselves. And that's righteousness and glory and majesty that can only be found in Christ. You can find reflections of it in other places, but you must go to the source. The law was a reflection of the glory of God that was fading. It was not the essence of God's glory and majesty. It was just a tool. It was just a mechanism to show us how big our problem really, really was. It's more than Adam's disobedience, it's our disobedience. It's more than Adam's eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's our eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not Adam's curse, it's our curse. It's not Adam's death, it's our death. And we are, when we try to do good, our righteousness becomes, as Isaiah said, as filthy rags before the Lord. We are unable. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You cannot maintain righteousness and glory and majesty in your life by the things that you do. We like to think we could. It's the thing where people believe that, when they have received Christ into their life, that they have salvation, and then they believe that they can maintain that salvation by the things that they do or not do. It's not your behavior, it's who you are. Have you been born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God? And if you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, you are living in the righteousness of the law and the fading glory of the law, and you will die. Your only hope is in Christ. We have no hope beyond that. The law brought death because it could not be kept. God in his glory and majesty sent Jesus, God's glory, to break the curse of the law. He became cursed for us. He took the curse upon him. That curse that was pronounced on Adam and was upon all men, for we all have this sin nature, Jesus took the curse upon himself and paid the debt, if you will, and died so that you and I might be set free. When he was lifted up on that tree, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lifted up how? As the serpent was lifted up in the desert. Do you remember that story? Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
Where the vipers were biting the people and they were dying. And Moses went to God and he said, can you do something about this? He said, hammer out a form of that viper, that snake, put it on a pole and set it up in the camp, in the center of the camp. He said, whoever gets bitten by the vipers, and it's a poisonous viper that will kill you, if they will look at that brass snake upon that pole, the poison will have no effect on them. And that's what God said about Christ when he said, if I be lifted up like that, when you've been bitten by sin and that poison is in you, if you will look to that Christ dying on that cross, believing that he was cursed for you, the poison has no effect on you.
Amen.
You are delivered from it.
Amen.
You are set free from it. You are made alive. You were dying and you were made alive. He fulfilled the law. He did what no one was able to do. No man was ever able. And when he finished the law, and he kept the law for us, so that you and I wouldn't have to live with a fading glory, but we could live with a growing glory, a glory that would go brighter every day instead of dimmer. He created a new race of people built on the new covenant, not the old. The old part, the old covenant, is based on man fulfilling his part. God said, thou shalt not, and you not. That's what it is. God said, thou shalt not, and you not. Whatever it is, you don't do it. God said, thou shalt not covet, and you don't covet. And if you do, the consequences are that you die. Any man that breaks the law has a sentence of death upon him. And we've all broken the law. We've been condemned by the law. The old covenant required that man do his part with God, and it wasn't working. It never would work. So God created a new covenant, not based on what you could do, but based on what God could do. The covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. That was the new covenant. And God, and Jesus was obedient and kept and in his keeping to this very day the relationship and the covenant with his Father. He did what he was supposed to do. He didn't sin. He kept the law. He became a curse. He died and he was raised from the dead victorious because he kept his part of the bargain. Do you see that? Do you see that? That it's a different relationship? The old covenant wouldn't work. It was based on our performance. The new covenant is based on Christ's performance, not yours. You cannot depend upon yourself. You must depend on what he did. It's his finished work, not yours. Your work will never be finished. His work is finished. It is done so that you can be set free, that you can live, that you can have righteousness that comes from God, not from the law. The righteousness of the law won't work for you. You're unable to do it. And if you're old enough to think it and to understand what I'm saying, you've already broken the law. There's no hope for you outside of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And your faith in Him, looking to the one lifted up on the tree, believing that He became sin for you, took the penalty of sin. He made a show openly of sin, death, hell, and the grave at Calvary's tree so that you could be set free. That's where you receive your glory. That's where you receive your ability to rule in the majesty of God. You receive it from Him at the cross. The law was fading and unable to impart glory and majesty to you. You were a dead duck. Goose. All over. Fried. Popping, sizzling, hell your destination. That's what happens to unbelievers. Those who have a righteousness of the law. The very best man and woman in this planet has a fading glory. And their fading glory is because of their inability to keep the law. Paul said it this way. Where there is, listen to me. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed to man. In other words, what you do is not, you're not held accountable for it. Under the law, we're held accountable. You sin, you die. But under the cross, we're not depending on our righteousness or our ability. We're depending on what Christ did. Paul said, if we have a righteousness of our own, then Christ died in vain. That's a difficult concept for most of the world to conceive because most of the world is dependent on itself. People go to church. And they think that that's a good thing to do. And it's a good thing to do. It's better to be in church than be all the other places you could be. But it won't get you any righteousness. You gain righteousness because of what Christ did. The new covenant was perfect and cannot be broken. You can't break it because it's not about you. It's about Him. You know, I've said this before, and I want to say it again because it bears repeating. We're totally and completely dependent upon what Christ did. Totally and completely dependent on what Christ did. And it's not a intellectual knowledge. It's a spiritual reality. Have you ever asked Christ into your life, believed, put every fiber of your being, your hope for today, tomorrow, and eternity in His hands and cried out for mercy from Him and received the new birth? Are you different? Are you changed? Do you see a difference in your life? Do you see a difference in your thinking? If not, you've had some form of religion, but you've missed Christ. Christ changes your life. Does He change it all at once? No. It's like a train that gets pulled along the track. When the engine cranks up, it doesn't pull all the cars at one time. Only pulls one at a time. The first one pulls. They have slack built into the couplings so that when that one's moving, it grabs the next one and pulls it along. So it's like that. It pulls you along a little at a time. You get your whole train moving, if you will. We all have problems, but our problems are laid at the base of Calvary's tree, and we trust Christ. Our sins of yesterday, today, and forever have been placed at Calvary's tree upon Christ so that you can stand not in your own righteousness, not in your own glory fading, but in a glory that is growing day by day in you. And one day we'll see it all fulfilled. One day we'll see you in all your glory. One day you'll see me in all my glory. Some of you won't recognize me with two arms. This thing's not going to heaven. I don't know where it's going, but it ain't going to heaven. My other arm's in heaven. I told somebody, I told several people, I'm sending myself to heaven on the installment plan, one piece at a time. Yeah. I don't know which piece I'm going to send next. Hallelujah. Let's go on, and I want to finish up with this last point. What did you say? I didn't hear you. Y'all making fun back there?
One hair at a time.
One hair at a time. That's good. I got some old pictures I'm going to bring up here and let you see how cute I used to be. I love you. God's glory and majesty was the final glory in you. The final glory in you. Oh, boy. Some of you are going to start shouting now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. Therefore, we have such a hope. Doesn't say hope so. Remember I told you that Wednesday night? I think it was. It's not a hope so. We have such a hope, something we can be sure of. We are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Stop there for just a minute. If you're looking at the scriptures and you're looking always at the thou shalt nots and thou, you're looking at the old fading covenant. That's what you're looking at, all right? And it puts a veil over you. You can't see. All right, flip over, Jim. It has not been removed because only, read it out loud, only in Christ is it taken away. The veil is taken away in Christ. Why? Because we can let the glory shine. It's not fading anymore. It's growing more and more radiant with every passing moment of eternity. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are set free from the law of sin and death and the burden of punishment and judgment. Those things are not for a believer who loves the Lord God with all their heart, their mind, and their soul, and is involved in the new covenant, not made with your power and your might and your will, but the power and will and majesty of God as He made a covenant, the Father to the Son.
Amen.
That will never fail. The glory of the Lord was on Moses as he received the law, but it was fading. The glory of Christ is getting brighter moment by moment. The glory and majesty of the law of Moses is an empty shell. The temple is dust. You are now the temple of God.
Amen.
The altar is empty of sacrifices. Christ is the eternal sacrifice.
Amen.
Once for all, those who believe that they have to sacrifice Christ daily in their religious rituals miss this scripture. I don't know how they can miss this. Christ sacrificed once for all, never to be sacrificed again. An eternal sacrifice that takes care of all eternity. The priests are dead. You are the priest now. We are priests in Christ. Some of you looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You are the priest. We are priests and prophets of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are now. We're not priests who went to the altar with a sacrifice day by day, who burned the altar, who murdered those animals, innocent animals, shed their blood, burned them on the altar. That's gone forever. You know, some people, and don't let me mess with your theology, but I don't mind messing with your theology. Some people are still, well, wait till they start the temple up again in Israel, and they got the red heifer. Somebody said the red heifer is growing. If that heifer is still around, that thing is old as Methuselah. The first time I heard about that red heifer was eons ago when I was a brand new Christian. Now he's got to be 40 years old. I don't think cows live that long. They're sowing the vestments so they can restart the temple service again. I don't care if they do. It doesn't matter to me that my high priest made the sacrifice never to be made again. We are the new priests. The mercy seat is empty. The temple veil was rent from top to bottom. That you can go in and see there's nothing going on there anymore. You know where the mercy seat is? The mercy seat is in your heart. You have a new heart covered with the blood of Jesus. That is where the mercy seat is now. We are covered with mercy day by day by the sacrifice that he did so that you and I could live in freedom. The law has ended because righteousness has been written on your hearts. I don't have to tell you not to steal and lie and cheat and go whoring around. You know it. If you're born again, you know it. I don't have to tell you that. People want me to preach sin all the time. I'm not interested in preaching sin. I'm preaching righteousness. Righteousness will change you. The law never changed anybody. Christ is the one who changes you. You need to hear about what he did for you so that you will know who you are. You know when you screw up. I don't have to tell you that. You know when to go to God and tell him you're sorry about doing something. I don't have to tell you that. That will not make you righteous. You are righteous by your faith and being born again, regenerated by the power of the resurrected Christ. Amen. That's who you are in Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. That'll make some good Baptist shout. Believers will never die because Christ died in your place. You will never die. You will never die. I might put your carcass in the ground, but you'll never die. Eternal life doesn't die. Eternal life goes on for all eternity. Resurrected life never dies. You are the resurrection. Christ is the resurrection in you. Jesus told Martha, he said, she asked about the resurrection, about her brother who is dead. And he said, I am the resurrection. Do you have Christ? Then you have resurrection residing within you. Woo! Hallelujah. Christ, the glory and majesty of God, was sent in Christ to raise us to new life. In the image of God. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Now you've been raised to new life, Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Raised to new life. You were dead. Now you are alive. Paul said that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. He had a new life. In the book of Corinthians, he said, if you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the new creation. You are just as you were born from your mommy one day. Most of you were born from your mommy one day a long time ago. You know, and you became alive. You became a living being. The same thing happens to you when you put your faith and your trust in Christ. You are born again, not of corruptible seed like what your mother gave you, but the incorruptible seed who is Christ, that seed who came and finished the laws so that the law wouldn't be upon you any longer, not under heavy burdens, but you've been set free from that. They asked Jesus, did you come to judge? He said, no, I've come to set them free. They're already judged. You're already judged by the law. The law condemns. But Christ gives us liberty and sets us free. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to judge. Amen. Woo! Christ was not filled with glory after the resurrection, but he is glory and majesty. He put it down. He became a man. I told you this 2 weeks ago. He lived on this planet Earth. He died at Calvary's tree. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But when he came forth on that first Easter morning, he came forth with all of his glory and all of his majesty and all of his power. And he has, listen to me, imparted that to you who believe. You have Christ residing within you. The promises of God are yours for yes and amen forevermore. You have God's glory and majesty within you. He has given it to us, not because we deserved it, because he so loved us. God so, listen to this, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the glory and majesty of the new covenant. That's what God has given to those who believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior. Believers have this glory and majesty. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. You are growing in glory and majesty, but it's him growing in you. Anybody got this yet? You see this yet? You are the righteousness of Christ because his righteousness has been given unto you. Sin removed, the old nature done away, a new life, a new creation in you gives you righteousness that comes from God. You have eternal life because you have his life within you. Sin has no dominion over you who believe. Has no dominion. Sure, we deal with it. Sure, we fight it. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But we don't quit fighting. We don't just give up and say, oh, that's just the way it's going to be. Say, no, tomorrow's a better day. Tomorrow, Lord, we'll get the victory tomorrow. You ever have one of them old problems that you deal with and you get the victory one day? And that'll make you feel good? Thank you, Lord, I got the victory today. I ain't worried about tomorrow. The victory is today. I got the victory today. And sin is not imputed to you because Christ said you are not under the law, but you are living in Christ. It's in Christ that we live and move and have our being. It's who we are. We are the new creation. We are the reality. This flesh and blood is not reality. The only reality that lasts is what Christ does in you. That blessed hope of glory. You reign with him in his glory and his majesty forever and ever and ever. That's who you are. That's what happened to the glory. In closing, I mean, the glory was fallen in Adam and Eve. It was fading in the law. But it's finally you. That's the work of God. That's the new covenant. That's what the church ought to be preaching. That's what people ought to be hearing. More people heard this sermon, it would help change their lives. Give them a chance at victory. They wouldn't be living under condemnation all the time. But to be set free. That's what Jesus came to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Glory, glory. Never use the word glory again without thinking about this. Hallelujah. I know that for some of you who have been in this ministry for a long time, you've heard me say a lot of this stuff before, but it's always fresh to hear it again. Some of you are new to the fellowship. You might say, what is he talking about? Just hang on, all right? Don't just hang on. It's a revelation. God will reveal more and more to you as he teaches you the things. You know, sadly, we've been taught so many wrong things, it takes a while to get rid of some of the wrong and start seeing the truth. This is truth, beloved. Christ is everything. I was telling the new attendees class this morning, I don't know, but I, you know, the only one thing I know, I just know about Jesus. And I know what he did. And I know what he did in me. And I know what he does in you who believe. Man, we can talk about a lot of stuff, but I just don't propose to be an expert on it. I'm not even an expert on this, but I got a glimmer of light.
Amen.
And I believe I'm ordained by God to try to get that glimmer of light to go out further and further and further. I hope those who are watching over the internet are receiving this and hearing it. I hope you're receiving it and hearing it. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let him speak. He came to bring us righteousness and to help us to understand. Next week, God willing, I've invited Pastor Kerry Robinson back again. Y'all enjoyed him so much, I thought I'd bring him back. He just was a blessing to us. And, you know, it's something really wonderful that's taking place in our fellowship. And I think Pastor Kerry can be a part of that. So I wanted him to come back and to bring another message. I'm not going to make a bunch of slides and overheads for him again like I did last time. He obviously doesn't pay any attention to me. He's listening to the Holy Spirit. I mean, what kind of deal is that? I don't know. And here I am bringing him back again. Must be the Holy Spirit. So he'll be here next week, and I encourage you to come. You might tell some of our beloved who aren't here today to get them to come, and let's fill the place up, as they say. Bring some people. I think they'll be touched by Brother Kerry and by his ministry. Jim, you're waving at me.
When you get us through with your thought there.
I was finished. I was it. I was just trailing off.
Well, in your enthusiasm a while ago, you never did get to the last verse of your scripture on your last point.
I didn't?
I thought it was really relevant right now. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Amen.
And I just really wanted to reiterate that again, because I think we saw that already right from the beginning of the service today with how the Lord and the Spirit moved through
Amen.
Evans.
Amen. That was great.
Every song, every word spoke God's glory to each one of us. And I just think the Lord is doing that. And if anybody's not seeing it, they're blind. And I don't think we got any blind guys here.
I think everybody sees this, seeing the glory
Hallelujah.
Of God. Hey, I think I said that, but I didn't say it quite as well as the Bible says it.
You did.
Thank you, Jim. All right, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could gather together in this place. Father, I know that we're just scratching the surface about who you are. But Lord, we do hunger and thirst after you, even as that proverbial deer from Proverbs, up from Psalms says, as that deer longs for a drink of water, so we long for you, Lord, to know more of you, to see more of you, to have more of you revealed to us in our lives. Father, if I've said anything today that's contrary to you, let it fall and be dust under our feet, never to be remembered again. And Lord, the things that I've spoken this morning that are of you, let them be planted within us. Let them be nurtured by the Holy Spirit and watered, and let them grow and produce fruit in our lives. And we thank you, our God, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.